I want to do something, Lloyd, I haven't done with you since you've been on the program all these years. And I want you to tap into your incredible creative mind for a moment and position yourself as an ancient astronaut. And this is prior to the visitation of planet Earth. Paint for us, if you would, some kind of scenario on how they possibly discovered our planet and what the process was for wanting to visit us, and then what you think they did once they got here.
Well, if you go along with the Sitchin story, which I do, that there is another planet in our solar system called Nibiru that swings around in a long elliptical orbit rather than the circular orbits of the regular planets, then they would have known we were here, that all the planets were here, as indeed when they told the Sumerians about it, they counted from the outside in, so that Earth was the seventh planet from the outside rather than the third planet from the inside. So they would have known it was here, and they would have known, I'm sure, what it was like. They may even have taken scouting trips here. So when it came time for them to need to replace part of their atmosphere, to repair part of their atmosphere, my understanding of it, according to the writings of Sitchin, is that they, in their rise to the high technology, the very high technology that they had developed on their planet, they had damaged the ozone layers, the atmosphere of their own planet, and they had to repair it. And ironically enough, in what we're doing to our planet, as we are damaging our atmosphere in our rise to a high technology, repeating the same mistake, we will have to, if we can do this, the best way, I understand, to repair our own atmosphere is to take extremely finely granulated flakes of gold, basically talcum powder, gold turned into talcum powder, and blow it up into the upper stratosphere so that it will just kind of float up there over on the air, on the blanket of air that surrounds the Earth. That thin layer of gold will go up there and dissipate and start, you know, having a protective effect, like those thin sheets of gold that they put in the windshields of certain cars.
That's a good point.
I had an old Peugeot that did that. You couldn't even tell it was there, and yet it made such a difference having that thin sheet of gold in the glass. It's the same thing. So it makes sense even here on Earth today. And yet when you read the Sumerians talking about it, it sounds kind of crazy. You'll hear a lot of skeptics just dismiss it, say, oh, yeah, they were coming for gold, like they couldn't find that anywhere else, and, you know, da-da-da-da. Well, maybe it is somewhere else out there, but it seemed to be here in real big, thick chunks down in South Africa, especially where it is to this day, where they do most of the gold mining. So they came, and they went down there, and they were taking it out everywhere they could get it easily off the earth. And then when they ran out of that, they had to create a slave and a servant to go start digging mines and start doing really hard work to recover it. But that's, you know, that's my understanding of how and why they came. What it would have been like when they first got here, I don't know, but apparently they were well adapted enough such that they didn't need particularly bulky spacesuits or didn't need to breathe anything differently.
Right.
So apparently the atmosphere is more or less the same, or maybe they took some little pill or something that made them able to breathe the air,
yeah,
if they needed more oxygen, whatever. I don't know, but when you see the depictions of them in the drawings and things that they've left behind on the cylinder seals, you don't see them wearing very much. But in some of the statuary, you do see things that look kind of like spacesuits. So maybe they had a little bit of an adjustment problem at the first. I'm not sure.
Now, these people who came from Nibiru, though, if I recall Sitchin's work, you know, we look like them, right?
Oh, absolutely. They said we shall make the Atomu, which is us, in our own image after our own likeness, which is a line that comes out of the Sumerian tablets right down into the Old Testament word for word. So there was there's plagiarism goes a long way back. But, yeah, they were indeed very much like us. I would have to say that the reason we look so different from the other primates on this planet is not because we evolved differently, but because we are really genetically engineered to be in mostly, vastly more like those who created us than those of the stock from which they used to create us. In other words, when they got here and they wanted to make a slave and a servant, they wanted something that would be better adapted physically to the planet and naturally adapted to the planet than they were. So they took some of the stock, had to, of the creature that was here, and they're pretty clear about that, and their own, and they melded the two together. So I think that all this DNA work that's being done with Neanderthals is going to show that there's a little bit of them still in us, but vastly more. This other thing, the Anunnaki, is going to make up humanity than will be any kind of real primate DNA. It's there, even though we're talking about small amounts in terms of percentages.
Right.
1% between us and chimps, 0.5% between us and Neanderthals. With this new 454 life science technique where you can do it base pair by base pair and get the whole entire genome to lay it down gene by gene by gene by gene, all 25,000 of them, and you can compare that, you're going to see that 0.5% is in fact millions of base pairs, and they are going to be such that you'll see, I think that the researchers will see, that while the Neanderthals are much closer to the, you know, to the chimps, that little 0.5% or that 1% that makes us is going to be absolutely unique, and there will be no way that could have been done by evolution. And I think that, you know, they're just going to have to face up to the fact that we are genetically engineered and put here.